After 2 weeks, I'm finally ready to review the Unplugged Phone.
This is the Andres Segovia Show.
This is not going to be a straightforward review. This is not one of those cases where I'm comparing an existing product to last year's offering by the same company. This is a new company. This is a new product. But it's not a new space. Unplugged is entering a competitive space in the pure Android experience or de-Googled device world. And a lot of you are not aware of that. So we will enter the world of de-Googled devices here in a moment. But before we get deeper into the review, I have to address certain of you that have already made up your minds about this. For you techies out there, you already know. This is not anything new. They're already privacy-focused OS in the custom ROM world. And you probably know how to flash your compatible device with an existing privacy-focused OS already. And then, spec heads. As soon as you see these specs, you're already going to make up your mind and say, hey, I'm not interested in a device that's running Silicon that was announced back in January 2021. In the tech space, that's ancient technology. For the rest of you that are new to this space, because you heard Eric Prince talk about it, because he's the co-founder of Unplugged, this is entirely new to you. But of course, some of you already made up your mind too. Some of you are, that's Eric Prince. I support him. I will get his phone. Then there's others of you that say, that's Eric Prince. I'm not going to get his phone. And you probably feel the same way about Unplugged CTO because he was part of the Pegasus team. I say to all of you, withhold judgment. Check out the review. Try to be as objective as possible as I was in my approach here, because before I can tell you about the hardware and the software experience of the Unplugged phone, I gotta talk to you about the world that this device is competing in. That would be the world of de-Googled devices.
Everything you see before you are Android devices. So allow me to explain to you what is a de-Googled device or a non-Google Android experience. To my left is the HTC One M8. This is the Pixel 4, this is the Unplugged phone, and this is the Pixel Fold, the butterfly phone, that is running the entire Google experience. For me to explain to you what a de-Googled device looks like, you probably already experienced that yourself if you own one of these devices. An Amazon Fire tablet. Have you ever wondered why you can't easily find anything YouTube or Google on the Amazon App Store? It's because technically it's not there. That doesn't mean you can't get them. Amazon uses Android in what we call a forked version of Android, where there is no Google involved in it. Android, at its core, is an open source code that, yes, Google owns and also funds the development. But at its source, it is free for anybody to access. You can go today, get the code, and build your own operating system. And that's how you come up with a Lineage OS, which used to be CyanogenMod, or you come up with a Calyx OS or El Graphene OS, or there's other custom third-party ROMs available out there. And now, new to the market, is also the Libret OS by Unplugged Phone, or LibretOS. While all of them are Android, there is something you sacrifice when you're not using Google Play services. Google Play services is the framework with which all of the Google apps work together, including the Google Play Store. The Google Play Store is generally how people assume they acquire apps. But with Android, there's something called sideloading, where you don't have to use a Play Store if you have the APK file. That takes a little more work and is oftentimes a little riskier because you don't know if that APK could be infected with a virus that can access your phone. But there do exist other app stores, such as FDroid, which is this one. This is the most popular open source app store available out there. And through it, you can also get what is called Aurora Store. Aurora Store is a third-party Google Play Store. So in other words, you can access all Google Play Store apps through Aurora Store. You can even choose to sign into your Google account or not, but this is another way to be able to get them. In the case of the Unplugged phone, it comes with their own app store as well, the Unplugged Store. And you are able to get certain applications available there. How many apps are available? It's up to the person to find out if you'll be able to find your favorite app. But you don't have to rely on that one only. Yours truly has installed FDroid, just like I did on the other devices, including Aurora Store. But I went a step further and also installed the official Amazon App Store, because you can buy the Amazon apps through there. and you're able to use them on your phone without a problem. You also get the Amazon app framework. So these apps, if they're purchased and they need to verify a purchase, can do so and work without a problem on your device. And everything I just showed you can also be installed on your commercially available Google experience. That's the beauty of Android. You have that choice. The whole point, though, in using this instead of, say, Google Play is, well, your privacy. So if you want to take control of your data, if you want to choose what you give access to and when you give access to it, which is why you get the whole point of a privacy firewall like this, the idea is that you control what you put into your phone. You can turn these into a Google experience, but that would defeat the point. And there's a reason why a lot of manufacturers that are considering Google have to optimize the hardware with the chipset so it can work without a hitch. Before, anybody that used a Motorola that was heavily skinned, or an HTC that was heavily skinned through Sense UI, or even a Samsung before One UI, there was TouchWiz, these devices will be bogged down by all these user interface graphics and visuals. And then, of course, the issue with RAM management that came along with it, with Google working in the background. That's why sometimes they threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at these phones so they can run smoother. A lot has changed over the recent years, which is good. But once you go even further and de-Google your device, suddenly you're getting better battery life, you're getting better RAM management, and you're taking more control over what system resources are running, what you can turn on, and what you can switch off. Oftentimes, when you're running a Google device, or for those of you on iPhone, you can never truly turn off the device when you have a unibody design that does not let you remove the battery. What does that mean? Your phone is constantly transmitting. That is the whole point of being able to take control and being able to force off, say, NFC, mobile data, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth, and of course, Bluetooth low energy. But the unplugged phone takes it a step further with the battery kill switch, which is this, which separates the battery from the components. So now there is absolutely no doubt there is no power running into the device. You can always switch it back, but you have to be careful when you do so. You have your phone off before you do that switch on the battery, or you can damage the system components. But the reason I show you all this and to highlight it is because when you are getting a commercially available device with Google and Apple providing you easier ways to be able to transfer your data, and that is convenient, you're giving all that up for privacy when you go for something like this.
Now I'm going to show you some of the competition that's available out there, because the unplugged phone is not something that's unique, but their offerings is more complete. Apostrophe is one of the newer operating systems out there that has been developed to bring privacy and security to your data. One of the devices that is available on today is a device called Punkt, and it's the MC02. It went on sale earlier this year. One of the more popular companies in this space and that offers the complete package and even more is Clear, where they developed their Clear OS, and they have various different products that are available. Products that I'll come back to here in a moment. These are devices that you can pick up today, and you can get them, as they say, de-Googled or without Google, as the unplugged phone is, or you can actually get it with Google. And then there's the world of Linux devices or Linux phones. So there's various different operating systems of Linux. Ubuntu Touch comes to mind as probably the more beautiful and more popular version of it. But there is hardware you still have to buy to be able to get it to work. And Prism offers some of the more popular choices out there, such as the Librem 5. And then there's the Liberty Phone, which is something that Prism highly touts as made in the USA, mostly made in the USA, because there's some parts that are not built in the USA that you have to get from overseas. But this is the most built in the USA device that's available out there, as reflected in the price tag of $2,000. And now here are the three most popular custom ROM Android operating systems that are available out there. Lineage OS comes to mind as one of the most popular, despite the fact that Lineage 18.1 is officially the last one they built. So long and thanks for all the fish. What made Lineage OS so popular, besides being de-Googled, is their wide list of support for a lot of different brands and devices, and it gave life to a bunch of other phones, such as my HTC One M8 that you saw in the video. That's a 10-year-old device that got a lease on life because I was able to strip it free from Verizon's bloatware and, of course, de-Googling, meaning that the device was snappier instead of being the creepy crawler that it used to be, for why I sidelined it in the first place. And while it reached the end of life support officially from Lineage OS, that doesn't mean you can't continue developing. There are others that are developing. They're already on version 20 or 21 of Lineage OS. Another one that I showed you running on one of my devices is Calix OS, also like Unplugged, very heavily focused on privacy and security. And this is the list of devices that they're able to be installed on. Not exactly a very wide range list like Lineage OS. And for an even slimmer list of support, that would be Graphene OS, the other popular privacy-focused custom ROM. And for here, we don't really provide any pictures, so I can't show you. It's a lot of text. But the device support is even smaller, and right now it's only some certain Pixel devices. So when you see that, there are options for you to be able to install these if you have the know-how. But if that still sounds like too much, there are third-party resellers such as Rob Brackman, the privacy guy. He does have the Brack Store, where he does sell Google Pixel devices that have been de-Googled and freshly installed with Calix OS. He offers the Google Pixel 7, for example, a Google Pixel 6, and even furthermore, they give you the option to bring your own device if it's among this list here that they can then de-Google for you and flash the custom ROM, most likely Calix OS. So third-party resellers such as this do sell de-Google devices that are in mostly mint condition, but the point is that they are used. And more often than not, they're not covered under any warranty, because as soon as you unlock the bootloader, you already voided a warranty if it still had some time left. I want you to keep that in mind, because the competitors that do offer a de-Googled experience or a pure Android experience, such as Punkt, well, they don't offer the best in specs, and you don't actually need it to run pure Android, but the price is still pretty steep, $750. Or for a bit more range, that would be the Clear Store, such as they offer the Freedom Phone, the Hawaiian Phone, the Clear Phone, and the Clear Phone 624A, which is their top of the line. As you can see, topping out nearly at $1,200, but it's on discount as of this recording. That's $900 for a device that doesn't have all the bells and whistles in the specs as flagships of today. Or you get the Librium Phone for $600, which is very mid-tier specs. And even though the Liberty phone is at $2,000, you are still getting upper mid-ranger specs for the device. And that's something for you to keep in mind as I review the Unplugged phone specs.
So here's the user experience of an Unplugged device. This is running a custom build of Android called LibertOS or LibertOS. And in here, they also include their own suite of apps. Some are available for free for a short period of time, after which there is a monthly fee. These apps are not solely available for Unplugged devices. Some of these applications are available for iPhones, and almost all of it is available for your Android device. This device, instead of relying on a generic Chromium browser, comes pre-installed as the main browser, Firefox. I think that's a fantastic place to start. Apps that I use for maps, for example, Waze and Here to Maps, which is powered by Nokia, which is right there. I have video players, music players of all sorts. There's Spotify, there's Pandora up there. For video, I have Rumble, the Prime Video Store. I have Microsoft Office applications here. And a lot of these are available through the Unplugged Store. And if it's not there, then I'll get it from the Amazon App Store. One thing to keep in mind, though, the reason I do have all these different app stores is because an app store could be running behind the official Google Play Store, which is why I have Aurora Droid to keep me up to date, because that is one of the best third-party Google Play app stores available. But as you can see, this is basically the Android experience you already know, just with a little bit of inaccessibility to certain applications you're probably used to. For example, YouTube. The best way to use this is either a third-party YouTube app. I just go through the browser. So I just launch Mozilla Firefox and access YouTube through there. That's an example. And by doing so, with no application, there's no way for those applications to be leeching my data. What if I install Instagram or TikTok on these devices? Technically, you can install social media applications here, such as I have. I've installed Truth Social, I've installed X. But when you do so, sometimes they'll leech some data off you. But one of the advantages of having a privacy-focused OS such as this is the ability to shut off access to those things with the Privacy Center.
For those of you new to this space, it's understandable that you'd be wondering why you need a subscription-based plan in order to access and use the Unplugged suite of apps. Well, Unplugged's competitors like ClearOS and ApostropheOS also offer their suite of apps in a subscription-based model.
With respect to the Unplugged store, I reached out to Unplugged and asked if they're the ones that manage this app. Well, Unplugged informed me that they have a team of developers that maintain the store. They're continually looking at and evaluating applications, checking their functionality with the phone and its lack of GMS, and responding directly to customer requests. One thing you can't get here are purchased applications. There are third-party app stores available out there that offer paid apps for free. Be wary of those because those are pirated apps. And this is an example of what it means where you can have an application that works with the phone, but if it's missing Google mobile services or Google Play services, it won't be able to function to its intent. So here is an example of the Bible app. The Bible app won't run without Google Play services. That doesn't mean you can't use it. It just means I can't sign in. So now, for example, if I go to my apps, one of the apps that I got from the app store here on Unplugged was Lightroom. So Lightroom is the third-party app that I use to take pictures and modify pictures, edit pictures, use filters and things. So I want to explain, there are premium features available for Lightroom and you have to unlock it on the App Store. But the thing is, it's not this App Store. It's the Galaxy Store from Samsung, because this one reads as a Samsung app. So I happen to be able to unlock it because I use a Samsung Galaxy device and I signed up for the premium features through my Samsung device. So it read the registration of the premium features and unlocked them here on the phone. So if you don't have a Samsung device and therefore don't have access to the Galaxy Store, you won't be able to get the premium features on an app like this. The Unplugged App Store is important to the entire experience of the Unplugged phone because these are being tested directly by the developers over at Unplugged with the functionality of the hardware of this device. And of course, the operating system. But when it comes to obtaining more apps that are not available through that store, Amazon App Store is one of the best ways to get them if you want to check them out, because these don't require Google Play services either, and you'll be able to get the premium functions or features from there because you'll be able to buy directly some apps from Amazon. But it doesn't mean they have the full catalog also. And that's why FDroid is so important, because FDroid is all open source apps that are free to download and have on your device and should work without a problem. It takes a little time, but you end up getting used to it, especially if you've already been on Android, you've already experienced something like this if you're using a Samsung device, which is probably most likely what you are using. You know, for science, I tried every feature that's available on this device that's unique to it, such as the Unplugged apps. But this is the one that I ignored at first, which was the Unplugged support, because I didn't really know what it was. But as soon as I started using it, that was pretty cool that it loads up like this AI chatbot in a way that helps you use your phone better. And because I had trouble finding that option on how to wipe your device, and I didn't know it was just limited currently to the Unplugged Messenger app, I reached out through the app to get support. So when I got support, I said, how can we help you today? And it goes through the list of things and articles that are already existing for the device. So as I searched for this wipe feature, I couldn't find it among the articles because it wasn't really written in that way. So I ended up talking to a live person, but that live person didn't respond within the time frame that was estimated. It told me 2 hours of usual response time. Well, I forgot about that and I had closed the app. So I thought I lost my place in line. I'm like, oh, that was a waste of time. But when I accessed the Unplugged store to get some apps a little later the next day, I got a reply from support and it was picking up right where my conversation left off. And I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. So then I asked my question, even though by then I already heard back directly from Unplugged because I've been in communications with them. It was still nice to have an interaction with a live person to give me some information. And they explained to me and showed me the articles on how to get that support. And even better, it keeps track of the recent messages here. So It keeps a log of these things, and I thought that's a pretty cool feature to have in case you're new to this, especially the Googled world, and you want to know how to use your device better. As I'm establishing, there is a learning curve to all this when you're giving up convenience for privacy. And I love that Unplugged is going that extra mile to offer customer service and technical support right at your fingertips. So I think that's pretty cool.
This is a microphone test of the Unplugged phone.
If you're like me and you use smart wearables, well, you can use them with the Unplugged phone, but depending on which kind you have, your mileage will vary. In my case, I use Samsung Galaxy wearables. I cannot use those that run on Wear OS because that relies on the Google Mobile Services framework. But those that run on Tizen, for example, like the older devices, do work with the Unplugged phone. What I can't get working here, though, would be Samsung Pay. That's one of the drawbacks to this, where I can get it up and going, but I can't register the application on the device because it doesn't read as a Samsung approved device to be able to run Samsung Pay, unfortunately. But other than that, everything else should work, such as Bluetooth, notifications, transferring files back and forth. You can go to the Galaxy Store and you can get watch faces from here. You can download apps. And if you already have an existing Samsung account and you sign in, all your apps can come back in. Even though it'll show Samsung Pay, it sometimes will fail to install or just say installing and never actually finalize it. So just letting you know, you won't be able to do mobile payments with this, even though it's supposedly capable of them. But at least you can still use a smartwatch with this device. When it comes to music streaming services, I use a plethora of them, including the Amazon Music app. I use Pandora. I use TuneIn Radio. I use Spotify. And some of them do have the cast function, so you'll be able to cast your music. And if that sometimes doesn't work because it's an experience that can vary from app to app, you can always cast via Bluetooth, like the traditional way. But one of the things that's really cool about pure Android that sometimes is blocked or buried on the commercial Android devices is the ability to cast your screen. So think of it like AirPlay to a compatible screen. You can cast your phone, you can cast your apps or whatever it is to the screen, and you can do that right from the notification sheet. All right, the big deal about this OS is its focus on privacy and securing your data. This is the privacy center. There's a lot of switches you can toggle by pressing the side button here that launches this really quick. One of the important things here is the blocking of insecure Wi-Fi networks, blocking Bluetooth, blocking NFC that's outgoing, blocking the camera, your location services or access, and USB blocked so you can have just charge only. That last one is so important because I'm sure a lot of you don't even think about this. If you rely on those public charging kiosks, or if you're a traveler that's charging your device on the go, say on the plane, you do realize that you can transfer data to those cables if it's been compromised. It's not just a power source, it's a data transfer. That's why if you want more peace of mind, toggling this here where you can block any data transfer will just let your phone charge. There are third-party devices that do that for you that are just quite literally meant to connect to your phone so you can connect to a data cable that will only allow it to charge. That's a big thing that I'm sure a lot of you haven't even considered. So this is awesome that you have that built in with this privacy center. Furthermore, when you go to the Liberty Firewall, and this is when you're browsing the internet and stuff, you can block trackers as malware, you can block adult websites, block gambling websites, and block fake news websites. And it says it's in beta, and that's actually kind of funny because what constitutes fake news is kind of like hate speech. Well, who's the one judging hate speech? So this is another security feature that is currently only available for the Unplugged Messenger app, and that is where you can set up an alternative PIN. You could type in the PIN that would then purge all of your messages. If you're a high-stakes person and that information is very valuable to you and can compromise you, that's a very good feature to have. So this feature is coming to the entire phone in a future update, I have been told.
A note about Unplugged Security, because we don't know this company, they're brand new. The question is, how can we trust them? Well, Unplugged, as they say on their website, has hired independent auditors to conduct periodic penetration tests on their platform's security. Unplugged also gives qualified professionals the option to visit their research and development offices to show how secure their offerings actually are. In addition, they also invite cyber experts to participate in what they call their White Hat program, or also known as a bounty program. I asked Ryan Patterson, the CEO of Unplugged, about that program.
We've got a bounty program out there. We've got five of our phones passing a crypto wallet unlock key. There's $25,000 in the crypto wallet. And so if you can pass it, the phones are in the United States, in Israel, South America, Europe. The messenger's out there. You can get to the messenger. You can understand it. You can hack into our messenger servers, DDoS and things like that. Just messing with it is not there. But there's $25,000 out for anybody. It's there that's been in that crypto wallet for 2 years. But if you like reach back out to us and say like, here's how I got it, then we'll give you another $25,000.
Perhaps you heard of advertising ID. When it comes to Android, it goes by a few names. The Android Advertising ID, AAID, also known as the Google Advertising ID, JAID, or Android ID. The advertiser ID is a unique user resettable and user deletable ID for advertising provided by Google services. Apps use the device's advertising ID to show you personalized ads. When you lose personalization, it means that you have less control over the type of ads you see. Personalized ads also help apps like news publications keep their content and services free. Now, while you can delete it or reset it, apps can still show you ads, but they may not be as relevant or interesting to you. It is worth noting that the Unplugged phone does not have advertising ID. I wish I could tell you I was a casual gamer, but I just don't really have the time for that. But still, there are some casual games that I was trying out on the Unplugged phone, and they worked without a hitch. I couldn't test out the more graphics-intensive games that are available out there, so I did measure the benchmarks with the Geekbench app. And the results, they're more comparable to the Google Pixel 7, which I feel this device will compete more in the de-Googled space. When it comes to the single core score, the Google Pixel 7 does edge out the older MediaTek chip. However, when it comes to the multi-core score, the MediaTek chip outperforms the Google Tensor G2 chip. Stay tuned for my conclusion, where I have some thoughts about the Google Tensor G2 chip, because my experience with it has not been positive.
Verizon Wireless.
Using the Unplugged phone on Verizon has been natural. I felt no interruptions in service. There were no drop bars. HD voice works. I didn't get any drop text messages or undelivered text messages. And data streams were pretty strong. So the experience, I could say, is that the phone will work on Verizon. It's just not officially provisioned by them. So what that means is if you have an active nano SIM, you can take it out of your phone, swap it into this phone, and it should work just fine. But if you try to go open a new line at Verizon and they don't find the phone on their whitelist, then they're not going to provision the phone to work on their network.
Since we're on the subject, let's talk cameras. This is the stock camera app for the Unplugged phone. As you can, there are quite many available options, such as video, picture, beauty mode, high res, which takes advantage of the 108 megapixel camera. And when you click more, you get more options like the Pro, Portrait, GIF or GIF, panorama, slow motion, mono, bokeh, and macro, and of course the wide angle. When using wide angle, you get to fit more of the picture in frame. If you know how to use the Pro function, though, this is where you're able to get more functions out of the camera. This is more of a manual experience, not automatic. And that's important to note because there's no computational photography here in the stock Android experience and in the stock app. But you can definitely take fantastic pictures if you know your way around the many features available for cameras. But these are the pictures of the Unplugged phone in comparison to one of the best in the market, the iPhone 15 Pro. Here is a slideshow of pictures that I took using the default modes on the stock app, the Lightroom app by Adobe, and also ReLens. The 108 megapixel sensors are reportedly built by Samsung. So Samsung is one of the best in the business when it comes to camera sensors. And to take best advantage of those sensors, you can either manually change some settings using the Pro mode on a default stock camera app, or using other third-party camera apps. This is an example of video footage taken while walking. While the camera does have electronic image stabilization, it is a big difference when you're relying on an optical image stabilizer. This is the iPhone 15 Pro, footage taken while walking. Optical image stabilization is kind of like the lens being buoyed versus electronic image stabilization, where everything occurs at the software level, but it can only do so much, as you can see once again with the unplugged phone here. But when using a gimbal, you can replicate a lot of the optical image stabilization.
All right, so here's some of the stuff that I really like about the phone. I really like the design of this device. It is not too wide, and despite it being tall, it doesn't feel all that tall, and it's very comfortable to hold in the hand. The side rails do not dig into your hand, they're not sharp, they're a little rounded off, so that's really good. It doesn't dig into the palm of your hand, and it's not that heavy too, like the S24 Ultra, which is blocked off, that really digs into my hand. I really like the feel of the build. It's not something that feels cheap, despite the fact that the back is plastic, but I do like the thought that was put into the cover, because the back cover really resists fingerprints. Another great thing is it has really good haptics whenever you're typing, whenever you're unlocking a device, when you're using the fingerprint scanner. It's just a very comfortable hold and feel. It's not trying to be so loud and obnoxious or too quiet that you can't feel it. So I really like the haptic engine on this. Speaking of haptics, I really like that this is one of the quickest fingerprint scanners I've been able to use, because historically I've had issues with fingerprint scanners. So at least there's one form of biometrics here. There's no face scanning or anything like that. I don't know if you're a big fan of it. I'm not. I don't even use it on my iPhone. So I'm not saying it's a pro or a con, but there are biometrics available here, and that is in the form of a fingerprint scanner that's on the power button. I like that it has flagship camera offerings. I already spoke about how to get the most out of the camera in the camera segment. The battery really benefits from the fact that since this is the de-Google device, it's not running all these services in the background. You can shut off some apps that don't run in the background and therefore extend the battery of this device. So this thing has been a beast of a battery champ for me. But of course, your mileage will vary depending on how you push the device, whether you're watching a lot of media or streaming a lot of media, because there's a difference between streaming media that's using data or watching something that's already on your device, or how often you're recording with the device, phone calls, etc. Your experience will vary. But as for me and the way I use it, it has held up very, very well. Another positive: quick charging and wireless charging. Another huge positive is that this is a dual SIM device. So you can have an electronic SIM that's already embedded into the phone, or you can just put, like I did, a SIM card in the SIM tray down below. At first, I'm like, but where is the SD card slot? And all I did was just turn it over and realize this little tray doubles also as an SD card holder, and made me wonder, why don't the big dogs do that if they can just fit it into the same slot? When it comes to screens, we need a beautiful and bright screen to look at, and I'm happy that Unplugged delivers with their AMOLED display here, and a tall one at that. Despite this being their first version of their UI, I love that it's fluid, it's snappy, I haven't run into any issues or crashing issues, and that is a good thing. The claim to fame for this device is the privacy and security. I love that physical battery kill switch. Another positive is how quickly you can access the privacy security features by a push of a button. I'm glad that we have stereo speakers here. Huge props to Unplugged for picking the Mozilla Firefox app to be the default pre-installed browser on this device, and not some generic Chromium browser. When it comes to certain devices that include screen protectors, oftentimes it's a plastic film. This is tempered glass, and it's right out of the box, pre-installed. Way to go. You know, one huge consideration that I took into this review, because you can go and get a Google Pixel device for about the same price with the latest in silicon offerings from Google, but you have to get rid of your warranty when it comes to de-Googling it.
Before publishing this review, in addition to their 1-year limited warranty, Unplugged introduced a satisfaction guarantee, an easy 30-day return policy. You can return your phone within 30 days, open or unopened, for a refund. Restocking fee may apply.
There's no perfect device out there, and the Unplugged phone is without exception. So here are some of the things I don't like about the device. Starting with the most obvious. I know imitation is the greatest form of flattery. I, for one, am not a fan of the Apple back design, just like I'm not a fan of the Apple design too. So there's no official water and dust resistance rating on this device. I imagine it can at the very least be dust sealed, and maybe splash resistant, but no water resistance, as in to submerge it like you can a Samsung device or an iPhone. So I don't know to what extent, and I'm not going to test it either in case it doesn't withstand it. And that doesn't mean that it can't. It's just, it takes a lot of money to get that certification. Case in point, OnePlus for a long time didn't have the certification despite the fact that it could withstand some submersion. Another issue I have is with the auto brightness on the display. It auto corrects to something very dim, so I'm always having to manually adjust it to make it brighter. I know it can be adjusted, or at least it should be, with a software fix, but it is aggressively trying to be dim. I don't like that. Now, while I'm a fan that is stereo speakers, I can't say that I'm a fan of the bottom firing speaker at higher volumes because the sound can come out distorted, but nothing that some Bluetooth headphones cannot fix or some USB Type-C wire headphones. Now, while the device has been a smooth experience overall from the operating system to running the apps and keeping them running in the background, it's still a 3-year-old silicon. Besides the reliability of the chipset, which is reliable, it's only a matter of time for us to learn how Unplugged will support this device and the chipset. While it's really cool, one thing I don't like about the kill switch is that you need a pin to, you know, activate it. I understand that it's also a safety thing because you don't want to accidentally trigger it. Catch 22, I suppose. I already expressed my thoughts about the stock app camera experience. Very fast shutter, but no image processing. That's by design. Nothing that third-party apps can't fix, but for a lot of people, for the layman who just are so used to picking up a device and just point and shooting, they might be disappointed with the image quality results. But again, nothing that can't be fixed with third-party apps. But that's also the drawback. A third-party app is required. And while we're talking about the camera, unfortunately, it lacks optical image stabilization. So just be cautious when you're taking video. You know, for some people, they're not going to like that the apps that they get might lag behind the official releases that are on the Google Play Store. This is a problem that all third-party app stores have to face. And speaking of apps, getting Google alternatives to those apps can definitely be a barrier to entry to a lot of you. Because there's no Google Services framework here, it requires more involvement from you. And if you're not exactly tech savvy, the know-how, or lack the patience, that's another barrier to entry into this space. The convenience created by big tech was designed to keep you within their walled gardens, whether it's Apple or Google. So getting out of there, of course, makes things inconvenient, but it also gives you more control over your stuff. And of course, the biggest question mark here is, it's a new company. They have to prove their customer service and their customer support and their device support. Until then, we have to take it on faith here. Let's wrap this up. I'm going to read to you the conclusion of a review that was written back in November 2014 for Tom's Guide that feels that it could have been written today about either the Unplugged phone or other offerings that are similar to this in this space. This is the review conclusion for the Black phone. Is Black phone as convenient as a regular smartphone such as a Samsung or an iPhone? No, you can't get Google apps, and your messages and calls are only secure if you're communicating with other, in this case, Silent Circle users. By the same token, security experts may also want to forego the Black phone because all the security features and apps can be obtained for other phones, like the Unplugged suite of apps, and skilled users can configure all the intricacies for themselves. De-Google your device, anybody, if you can flash a custom ROM to your compatible device. But SGP, in this case, the ones that developed the Black phone, is targeting neither casual users nor security experts. Black phone is a phone for the average security-minded, some might say paranoid, person who wants to keep personal data secure and private, but doesn't want to spend hours working out the requisite complexities that modern mobile security requires. In that area, Black phone is competing with several other secure smartphones that can cost up to thousands of dollars. Journalists, high-stakes business people, international travelers, and people who want affordable privacy from their mobile phones will definitely want to check out Black phone. That was a review from nearly 10 years ago that one can almost say is about Unplugged. But not entirely so, because in the past 10 years, how we've seen big tech rise and censorship run rampant, and our Congress doing nothing about protecting our First Amendment instead of attacking our First Amendment, this stuff has become more important than ever. I'm more concerned about what Meta is doing with our data. That would be WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook. It's pretty scary. And of course, just Oculus for you gamers out there. That's all Meta. And that's not the only place they're going to keep putting their fingers in. God knows what other companies they're going to want to acquire. Same thing with Google, who used to be the biggest concern, but they still, to some extent, give you some control over your privacy. Not fully, of course, because they got to monetize you somehow. So Unplugged isn't trying to just target the high-stakes business person or the international travelers or the journalist. The average consumer now is more concerned than ever. 10 years ago, we had the mobile OS wars. Black phone was not unique in the Android space, and Android wasn't unique in that space either against iPhone. There were other software offerings out there, such as Windows Phone, such as BlackBerry, such as Nokia Symbian, and maybe other smaller offerings. Those are all gone. We have a duopoly. And now more than ever, people are wondering, can we get another option? I showed you the competitive space that Unplugged is in. There are other companies offering similar services and products to what Unplugged is offering, and at similar prices. But what they lack is more flagship specs. And this is probably the closest we're going to get to a flagship version of a Google device. Now, you might say, Andres, I disagree because of, you know, the Google Pixel lineup. And I would almost agree with you, except for the fact that Google Pixel devices are notorious for their hardware issues. They try to resolve some of that with software updates, but you can only do so much when the problem is hardware, not software. And secondly, I've had issues with the Google Tensor chip. If you haven't seen my video about the Google Pixel Fold issues that I have had, where the phone erased everything off it and I didn't even have a backup of it, it made me question if I can use it on the daily, and that's why I do not use the Pixel Fold on a daily basis, and for why I called it one of my three worst tech buys of last year. So is the Unplugged phone right for you? Only you can answer that question if you choose privacy over convenience. And to those that say you don't trust it because of Eric Prince, okay, and you trust Apple, you trust Google, you trust Meta because they didn't ask you. As for me, I'm happy that Unplugged exists because we need to break the duopoly that is Apple and Google, because they hold all of our data, all of our security, and all of our so-called privacy in their hands. In other words, it doesn't exist. And BlackBerry was onto something when they named the PRIV, short for privilege and privacy, because, yeah, privacy nowadays is a privilege.
This review is based on my testing done over a two-week period using the Unplugged phone sent to me by Unplugged. They did not provide me any compensation. They did not have any editorial input into this review, and they're seeing it for the first time along with the rest of you. If you have any questions that were not addressed in this review, feel free to drop them in the comment section down below wherever you're watching this review, or you can reach out to me across social media, preferably Instagram at the Andres Segovia, on X, formerly known as Twitter, _ Andres Segovia. Remember to like this video if you haven't done so already, share it with those you know, and subscribe so you don't miss out on my next episode.